And every Christian seeks unity of the brethren. We don't want to cause offense. We don't want to cast someone out. We don't want to be dividing. We want to include. We want to be together in the work and the ministry of the gospel, shoulder to shoulder. And every church needs that. And indeed, we ought to pray for it. And don't take that for granted. Pray for it. Pray for that brother or sister that has lost the zeal. Don't forget them. Pray for them, that that zeal may return and there may be that shoulder-to-shoulder spirit in the work of God. Now, they counted themselves a very privileged people. And I'm sure that they would speak of those 10 days in the prayer room all of their life. Well, welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and that you have also been encouraged listening to the messages on the ascension of the Lord Jesus. There is no more thrilling message for God's people than to know that our Lord Jesus truly died, that he rose again from the tomb, that he ascended into glory, and that he has sent down the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of that, of course, is the workings of God the Holy Spirit in the days of Pentecost. And today we're going to be looking at the works of Pentecost in the prayer room. People at prayer at Pentecost. Prayer is a vital part of the Christian life. It is a means of grace. It is a means of communion between our Heavenly Father and our own souls. And we must not neglect that communion with the Lord. The Father has no stillborn children. Every one of them cry out. When Paul the Apostle was converted, the first evidence of his change, "Behold, he prayeth," the Lord said to Ananias. Ananias was a little fearful of going along to speak to Paul after his murderous ways. But the Lord said, "Behold, he prayeth." And the mark of a new convert is that there is born in the soul a new desire to pray. And in Acts chapter 2, we find those newborn Christians in the upper room crying out to God for help and for the promise of the Holy Spirit to descend. I wonder, do you spend time in prayer and specifically asking for the Holy Spirit to come and fill you and fit you for the work of the gospel? That's our message today. Stay tuned now as we go to our first item and then on to the message. Acts chapter 2 is our Bible reading this morning, and we're going to look at what happened at Pentecost today. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine.
But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended up into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, which ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. May the Lord write His word on your heart today and encourage you as we minister on this morning. Father in heaven, we do invite and plead for the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us in this time of worship. Lord, we don't want to worship Thee with dead hearts. We don't want our lips to express cold desires. We desire, Lord, that inner fire, that zeal of the Lord that will crown our worship and bring glory to Thy name. So stir us up today. Lord, let us not settle down on our lees and sleep, but awaken us to the great eternal truths of Thy word and to the work to which You've called us. Grant that glory, honor, and praise will be to the name of our Redeemer as a result of our ministry, of the life of Your church, and the witness of Your people. Come, bless us now. Help us. Give utterance in the preaching. Give grace to hear. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 2 is our study passage today, and of course I read the whole chapter because it's really a narrative of an ongoing story, and it is God at work after the resurrection and after the ascension of the Lord Jesus. Now, if we were following Jewish tradition and indeed following even the Christian calendar, we should be preaching on Pentecost at the end of May, 7 weeks after resurrection. Pentecost means 50 and means that the Holy Spirit was sent 50 days after the resurrection. It was celebrated right through the Old Testament as the Feast of Weeks. And Jews gathered in Jerusalem at three times of the year: Passover, the Feast of Weeks, which became Pentecost, and a third occasion in the gathering in of harvest in that year. So we are really here looking today at the explosion of the early church at the descending of the Holy Spirit. Now, Pentecost has been the mightiest moving of God that we know of in the history of the Lord's church. I think something that comes close to it would be the turning of the people of Nineveh through the preaching of Jonah. You remember that most reluctant preacher and missionary to the Ninevites, and he was to go among them preaching repentance. Well, he did that very reluctantly, and God did a great work. He turned the whole city from the king downwards to repent in sackcloth and ashes, turn to God, and they had wonderful, wonderful mercy from the Lord. Well, here in Pentecost is something equally remarkable and became the landmark for Christianity, something that we would pray for again, something that we would look for to happen over and over. And no doubt this event, the coming of the Holy Spirit in such great demonstration, that it ignited the church as a sleeping giant. It just awoke the whole city to the great news of Christ as Savior and Redeemer. And it commenced a movement that just kept going on and on. It was not something that happened one day, but it kept going on. And if you read church history, the early Christians, by 100 years later, well, the gospel was being preached in Britain under the Romans and right across Europe and as far as India, where Thomas was an apostle, and the Christians were scattered abroad, and they went everywhere preaching this message, and the springboard of it was this event at Pentecost. Now, it's also right for us to seek this today. In fact, we have a hymn in our hymnal. It's number 602, where it is, "Lord of old, at Pentecost, thou didst thy power display with cleansing, purifying flame. Descend on us today. And so this is not irrelevant to us. This is something we pray for, that we would long that God would visit his church again around the world, and that he would come even in our part of the world and in our church. And so why is this our desire? Because it's the promise of God. It's the promise of power to all who will preach this message of the gospel. And down through the years, God has visited repeatedly in like demonstration, where people, cities, nations have been remarkably changed by the power of the gospel. The early centuries, 1, 2, and 3, 312, Constantine declared the Roman Empire to be Christian. Now, there's all kinds of motivation for that, and it brought certain problems. It wasn't always people who were brought into the purity of the gospel, but such was the impact of Christianity by the year 312 that the whole Roman Empire was declared to be Christian. What an amazing thing. Started out with a group of 11, 12 disciples preaching about a man who died on a cross and rose again out of the tomb, and the whole Roman Empire becomes a declaration that this is now the state religion recognized by the whole empire. Then there came what is known as the Dark Ages. Christianity didn't die, but it was persecuted, and it was a remnant here and there. And then the Protestant Reformation and the great awakenings that happened in Germany and France and Switzerland and in Holland and the countries of Europe. The reformers that preached the word and united nations under the gospel. When you think of the work of Martin Luther translating the Bible, that has given the German language the cohesion out of tribalism. Likewise in English, the word of God became the very uniting factor among various nations. That was 1400, 1500. And then in the 1700s, you've had evangelical awakenings with the Wesleys and George Whitefield as the outstanding preachers. When a nation that has fallen into deism was now revived and brought back into the power and blessing of God. And that became the foundation for the missionary endeavors of 1800. And during those years, you have another awakening that took place under a man called Asahel Nettleton in the eastern seaboard of the United States, 1857 in Wales, Ireland, New York. Awakenings when thousands and hundreds were brought to Christ in tremendous revival awakenings. And then again, missionary endeavor. In the 1800s, you have Hudson Taylor going to China, Adoniram Judson going to India and Burma, and later into the 1900s, you have Jonathan Goforth, a Canadian, by the way, who went to China. And in the first 30 years of the 1900s, right up to the Boxer Revolution, and then leading to the war with Japan when missionaries had to flee, what a mighty moving of God that there was during that very time. And then in the English-speaking world, with C.H. Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, again, God visiting his church in revival times. And I'm just speaking of some of the big names. In those periods, there were many preachers and missionaries who advanced the cause of Christ's kingdom notably. And God was working and converting and changing lives and bringing glory to his name. More recently, well, there's been various movements of God around the world. And thinking of Nepal today, we have to say that the birth of a Free Presbyterian denomination in Nepal is nothing short of a revival awakening. People who are out of paganism brought into the church and into the knowledge of the gospel. Young men who within a year, maybe less in some cases, after their conversion from paganism, become preachers of the gospel. And this is the thing that staggers those of our men who have visited there, they have seen God do in such a short period of time to the establishing of something like 70, 80 congregations in that land. So we can say today that we greatly need another visitation of God, another breath of the Holy Spirit descending upon the church of the Lord Jesus. And I propose to you today, and I want to suggest this to your heart, that we need to take a fresh look at this promise of the sending of the Holy Spirit and get serious to pray and seek God for such a move and a working in His church. Now, God in His sovereignty may be pleased to save one or 1,000. And in a sense, it's the same work, just it's multiplied. It's the same work of conviction of sin. It's the same cry, what must I do to be saved? It's the same answer, repent and believe the gospel. And then you see people forming a church, seeking fellowship, wanting to serve God. Now, whether that happens in a single heart or in 100 or 1,000, well, that's God's business. But God does these things. And that's the promise and that's the blessing that the church of the Lord Jesus needs to seek in every age. This promise of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've got 6 headings and don't know if I'll ever preach them all, but there's 6 points that we need to cover in this. The first one is the purpose of Pentecost. And if you ever want a purpose for church, this is it. There's the people of Pentecost. We need to get down to say, who are they? What do they do? What did God do through them? There's the praying of Pentecost in that upper room for 10 days. The preaching of Pentecost. What a remarkable revival of preaching it was. Then there's the power of Pentecost. The results are staggering. And then the perpetuity, that this work of Pentecost has never been withdrawn. It's a work that will go on. Now, bear with me. I'll not go much over time if I do it all. I will stop. If I find I only get to point 3, I'll stop. But I don't want to preach in a fashion that we miss the details, because it's in the detail that we get a foundation for prayer, a foundation for standing for truth. And if I just preach in general terms, well, it could lead to confusion. And I want to get specific in some of these parts here, and so I want us to look at this. The first thing then is the purpose of Pentecost. If you go back to Acts 1, verse 8, I think we can answer that. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and so on. And so the purpose of this sending of the Holy Spirit was to give power that they may be witnesses for the Lord Jesus. And surely that's what we ought to be now, today, here in this church service. The very fact that you've left your home, taken the time and come to join with God's people in a Christian church to sing the hymns and read the Bible and hear His word, you are seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. But we need power. And this is the promise that is given here. Now, it was to take the apostles from being witnesses of an empty tomb and a living Christ to the victory of establishing a New Testament church. That was no small feat. But that was the purpose. God was going to take these 11 men, then they were joined by another that was added on here, Matthias, and God was going to take these apostles and make them the foundation witnesses of the church that He was soon to commence and spread around the world. Now, the odds against this is absolutely staggering. 12 men against an apostate Judaism that was so hostile that they just murdered the Son of God. A Savior that was now gone away from them. He ascended into the cloud. He went out of sight and He went into heaven and left them to this work. And in a world that was hostile, Do you think the Roman emperor of that day had any interest in starting a new religion? Do you think that with all the political issues of Jewry under the heel of Rome, that this would be an easy political battle? Not at all. This was going to be impossible unless God gave the power and unless God did something absolutely remarkable. And it was for this that they were warned. Don't dare begin until the Holy Spirit comes. Tarry at Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. Just a few thoughts on the message here today on the urgent need for Christians to pray and seek the Holy Spirit afresh. We have learned that the Holy Spirit is the originator. He stirs men to serve him and to preach his word, just as they did at Pentecost. But Pentecost was not the end. There were many such prayer meetings and many such outpourings of the Spirit when churches were born, peoples were turned from their sin, and God raised up his church. And that continued and multiplied in the first century. And we think of the catacombs, we think of the Colosseum, and we think of how Rome eventually declared Christianity to be the national, or should we say, the religion of the empire, covering many nations. That is God. And we need to seek God to visit us again, that we might be a people in revival. Let me call you to prayer. Let me call upon you to seek God every day for an outpouring of his Spirit in this land of Canada. We are seeing decline. We are seeing the apathy that is rampant, where churches are no longer emphasizing the preaching of the old-fashioned gospel, and prayer is really something that's minimal, if not childish. And we need to call on God that he will revive his church again in this land of Canada. And so pray for me, pray for the work of this ministry, pray for our church, and if we can pray for you, make sure you be in touch. May God bless you, encourage you through our message here today. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.